Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Prince, what a great talent that guy was. What a loss. What is this old people music? Stop, man.
Settle down, guys.
This is Andrew approved
music. Yeah,
we
have an actual audience and listenership now.
Right.
So I need to qualify what I say.
The folks that got to sleep in because they didn't have to work today are now listening to us, so we have to be serious, Josh.
Right.
You are listening to Jonathan Owens, Josh Newby, and John Pickens this morning, filling in for Andrew. John's not filling in for Andrew. He's here always.
All the time.
He's the mainstay.
He's here always on every station that the ADX has.
Listen long enough, you'll find me somewhere.
John is floating around on the radio dial everywhere. You are listening to 92.3, AM 1620, FM 92.3. What other stations does ADX? I mean, you guys, y'all have most of the spectrum, it seems like.
95.3, of course, CAT, and then 1330, the ESPN station.
You guys... The Hawksings are taking over.
They are.
Waves. They have been for years, and glad to have them here.
Absolutely.
We were chatting about, what were we chatting about?
The 2028 Republican primary. Who is the heir apparent to Trump, and will primary voters select a sort of milquetoast, moderate Mitt Romney type again, or are they going to go with whomever?
Milk toast Mitt.
I like that. Whoever Nick Fuentes endorses.
Oh man, there's got to be something in between those two extremes. Milk toast Mitt. That just doesn't roll off the tongue easily. or someone endorsed by Nick Fuentes. What about someone endorsed by Candace Owens?
Or Tucker Carlson.
Sure. Whoever the conservative that has the best demographic stream in our social media feeds. And this goes back to what we were talking about in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, it all depends on what we are consuming, what type of oatmeal we are getting off of our algorithm.
Yes.
So, how do you follow up Trump, man? I mean, again,
you don't.
The guy is an anomaly and a breed of his own. I mean, is it going to be whoever Trump endorses? Is it going to be J.D. Vance? Would it be Marco Rubio? I mean, you know, J.D. Vance, it's hard to get the spotlight when Trump's still standing in it.
And he will continue standing in it into his third term. That's right.
Into his third term that Steve Bannon thinks he's going to have.
That's right.
That's a long, far away road that I don't think we're ever going to get to. But
do you think that if Trump was a younger man, if he was in his 60s, let's say, given all we know about Trump, given his history, given his shredding of norms, you really think that if he was a younger man, he wouldn't push the boundaries of a potential third term?
Of course he would.
Oh, okay, good. I thought we were on different sides there. Okay.
Trump doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Okay. And
he is the king
just
of
come to accept
FAFO,
right?
That. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the thing about Trump is no one else can pull it off.
Yeah.
Right. If J.D. Vance tries to be Trump, he's going to fail.
Viewed as trying to be Trump.
Viewed as trying to be Trump. Right. So what is the future of the Republican Party? And look, my side, the Democrats are in no better shape, but I do think that the right has a particularly hard time trying to grow past the Trump brand. The left doesn't have that problem.
Your choices are AOC or Gavin Newsom. I mean, as far as the iconic young
right, but there is no unifying voice on the left right now, like there is the right for the past decade. You know, who takes up the Trump mantle, or does the Republican Party pivot again? Does it go back to its autopsy from 2016 or whatever it was? 2012.
Autopsy. It's hard to say, man. I mean, I can't tell the future. I've paid attention to politics
my whole life.
It is fun to guess, but I mean, I don't want to just say, oh, I'm going to guess. And I can't. We are in a strange world. we are really driven by the algorithms.
Yeah.
And we're driven. Now, historically, this is accurate with political races. Who has the most money?
Sure.
Who are the power players that are going to get behind a candidate to have enough money to build their brand on all of those algorithms?
Right.
You know, who is that? And that person is being groomed right now in back rooms somewhere.
You think it's someone that maybe we haven't met yet?
I mean, look, like we were talking about in the break, DeSantis came out of nowhere as the governor, right?
That's right.
I mean, he was, when I met DeSantis, I met him at a campaign fundraiser at the Fish House. He was running for senator. That's it. I mean,
yeah,
he wasn't running for governor at the time. I'm like, oh, DeSantis. Yeah, I met that guy.
Yeah.
Wait, he's running for governor? I mean, that was kind of where I was when I'm like, oh, well, I wasn't expecting that. And at that time, you know, little old me, he might have already known, oh, I'm running for governor. I'm just out here getting my name out under this. And then bam, all of a sudden he's running for governor. Same kind of thing I think is going to happen in the Republican Party with the, you know, the candidate for president. Is J.D. Vance going to be on the ticket? 100%.
Of course, yeah.
He's going to get the Trump endorsement, I think. And speaking of Trump endorsement and Florida governors, what's your thought on Byron Donalds?
Well, hold on.
Oh, let's go back on the file.
Yeah. Let's get stopped. John stopped. We got to run there. Sorry.
That's all right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's 6.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Robert Peden was hot, you know, which is understandable in Panama City, Florida in the summer. And he thought, you know what? I can do air conditioning. I can maybe make this a business. I can help out my family, friends, maybe make a few bucks. So he started this little company called Peden. And he expanded eventually because obviously he was quite good at this. And he expanded to heating. He expanded to plumbing. He expanded to electrical. So now anything inside your home, those complex systems, even outside your home, like a generator, they take care of that stuff. They've obviously expanded, you know, geographically all the way east to Tallahassee, all the way west to Pensacola, and, of course, across the state line in the last couple of years, even into Alabama. So all the way into Baldwin County and Mobile, everywhere from the eastern time zone Tallahassee to across in Alabama to Mobile, they can take care of you. It's good products, good people, 100% satisfaction guarantee on all their work. And right now, they want you to beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 AC systems before they're gone. You can call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log.
That's how we felt this morning. We should have been sleeping like a log.
I know. Right. I should still be sleeping like a log.
Yeah.
For about another 90 minutes on a holiday. All
right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
We were talking before the break.
Yeah.
About Trump endorsements and, you know, how did it affect races? Well, how is it going to affect races going forward? I think on a national level, it's going to affect, you know, who he endorses.
Sure.
I don't know that it has the same effect that it has had in the past on locally who he endorses. Does his endorsement of Byron Donalds guarantee that Byron Donalds is going to become the governor of the state of Florida? Don't forget, Trump is a Florida resident, right?
That's right.
He lives at that's his when he's not in the White House, he's in Mar-a-Lago.
That's right.
So will it affect on a state level here? That depends. I mean, what's the demographics look like? Of course, you hear the Republican Party or DeSantis is referenced. Oh, well, you know, the Republican Party has grown in Florida since COVID, and it has. But what does that mean?
I mean, I think
does that mean that they're all pro-Trump Republicans, or do they just happen to be Republicans, moderate Republicans that have moved here because they were retiring? I mean, what does that mean? Numbers lie and liars use numbers.
I think there is a large Trump fan base in South Florida. I mean, I grew up in Miami, and it's changed a lot since I lived there. But everything from Orlando on down is Trump country. I genuinely believe that. Certainly, you know, the East Coast there. And I do think his endorsement carries a lot of weight. But you said that you think it's waning here on the state level.
And maybe because I pay closer attention to, you know, than the average Joe.
Yeah.
Affliction, I guess. Political addiction, affliction, whatever it may be. Does it have the same effect going forward on, you know, the CD1 candidate? Does it have the same effect on anybody that's running for, you know, the House, the U.S. House? Or does it have that effect locally as a on the governor's office? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, look, you've got other candidates that are getting in the race, not just, you know, it won't be a head-to-head primary for the Republican Party here for governor. So we'll see.
And the Florida Democratic Party, of which I am a member, is going to put up Charlie Crist again. So we'll make sure we dominate that race.
Yeah.
God. The Florida Democratic Party is a joke.
Propped him up with crutches and toothpicks.
Yeah,
hold his eyes open.
His fake tan.
Charlie Crist again, the former Republican, now come to his senses. And
Republican,
now he's a Democrat.
Republican Democrat. Yeah. I will say, though, the governor clearly does not have the clout in the legislative branch that he once had. I mean, Republicans in 21, 22, 23 were absolutely servile to DeSantis. And he no longer has that clout, as evidenced by last session's, you know, Andrade beef over the Hope Florida thing. So I don't think DeSantis's wife is going to be governor. Are there other names that have thrown their thrown in that I'm not familiar with on the Republican side of the Florida governor race?
It's not closed yet, and qualifying's not.
Oh no,
yet.
Of course not. But so, I didn't know if there were rumors.
Vice the lieutenant governor,
right? Sure, but so, I don't know.
He's on the airwaves a lot.
Interesting. Okay.
So, well, I mean, again,
I think he's putting his name out there.
It will be. We'll see when qualifying's over. Who's on the ticket?
You bring up a good point about Trump's endorsement power waning. There have been a couple of polls. We were talking about polls during the break, but take them for what they are. That indicate that a lot of Trump's more incendiary actions recently, I'm thinking about Greenland, I'm thinking about Venezuela, are not polling particularly well. So there seems to be some fractures, if not in his base, if not in his, you know, 35% base, then definitely in the larger Republican Party. And I do wonder if the party moderates are starting to, you know, dip their toe in the pool of breaking with Trump and seeing how that affects their election or their reelection chances. Because I think they are thinking about 2028 and they are thinking about, okay, we do have to eventually, if not distance ourselves from this guy, at least establish our own identity and remind people that we have a Republican conservative philosophy that is separate and apart from Trump. And when he does things that we disagree with, then we are going to publicly disagree with him. Do you see those fractures starting to form?
Not that anybody really wants to talk about. I mean, think of it. Go back to Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wanted to be Reagan.
Sure.
Right? And I'm Reaganomics. I mean, we still talk about Reagan and the Republican Party and how great a president he was. I think Trump, you know, has eclipsed Reagan
from
I want to be like that guy.
Uh-huh.
Which part of that guy do you want to be like? Because from a Republican standpoint, Reagan was very polished and very well delivered, right? Mm-hmm. He was an actor.
Great communicator.
Right? Great communicator. Mm-hmm. Trump's not the greatest communicator. He is, well, let me take you that know, back. He is a great communicator. It's just not
he's
really
not a great
eloquent,
orator.
Or
right.
Orator or eloquent, right? I mean, he's flipping off people.
Yeah. He's got the weave, Jonathan, which is not dissimilar to what we're doing today with weaving in between topics.
Yeah. So to wrap that up on the national level stuff, because I'd like to talk about some local stuff.
Yeah, certainly.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with Trump and his endorsements or non-endorsements, and you know what happens within the party. I mean,
yeah.
The same thing goes on your side, on the left side.
Who, yeah, I mean, we have our
who's
own problems.
Who's going to rise to the top in Florida? in the Democratic Party.
Excellent question. I have not a clue. And I mean, I'm not as plugged in as I used to be, but I'm still pretty plugged in. There is no bench here in Florida. And you know, the problem, just to pontificate for 30 seconds, when Matt Gaetz was running for Congress the first time, I was the communications director for his opponent on the Democratic side, Stephen Specht. And the Hillary campaign, we would have these conference calls with the Hillary campaign. And they would explicitly say, our focus, our money, our boots on the ground is about the national race. If the national race goes our way, nothing else matters. And you continue to see that posture within the Democratic Party where state administration and legislation does not matter. Local politicians do not matter. It's all about the national race. And I mean, the Democratic Party needs to get their heads out of their butts and realize that get the presidency. Great. But if you've got 40 states that have Republican strongholds in the executive and legislative branches, then you're not going to be able to do anything. It infuriates me that 10 years later and after the lessons supposedly learned from Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party is still, you know, presidency or nothing. It's infuriating. Anyway.
Well, see, we're still on this topic.
Let me take a quick traffic break real quick. No accidents report to you or delays. Everything looks good.
Nobody's on the road, yeah. So it's all good.
John Piggins, traffic on the fives.
What about Gay winning here in the special?
Oh, you know what? That's a good point, Jonathan. You know, I'm glad you brought that up.
Gay won against Petronas in a special election, and Trump had Trump endorsed Petronas, and a Democrat took Escambia County. I mean, there's something to be said about that. For your party, for the Democratic Party.
But
you
I will say,
discount that.
Thanks to no help from the larger Democratic apparatus.
She did it all on her own.
That was all Gay.
Yeah.
And
she fundraised.
And good for her.
Yep.
And I think, unfortunately, that's what it's going to take. And maybe some local talent like that in Pensacola, in Jacksonville, in Orlando, whatever, will rise to the top. I mean, I'd love to see. I mean, Florida used to be purple, you know. Florida used to have a strong Democratic presence. And I'd love to see that happen again. But the National Party is throwing their weight behind Gavin Newsom and, you know, nothing else matters.
Forget everybody else.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
But let's pivot to some local topics.
Local stuff. What do you think about the new plan for the Bay Center?
You know, I was going to ask you about that.
Well, good. We're on the same topic. We had not planned this. We're freestyling.
No, but I saw that yesterday. And I was like, oh, man, I hope this comes up. I've only seen the summary of their plans.
The watercolors?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
The chalky watercolors?
Why don't you summarize them briefly so people know?
Something needs to happen.
Oh, 100%.
I'm glad to see something moving forward with it. Whatever that may be, it's interesting to see the comments on social media, online. You know, people, you know, well, it should do this. Well, what about the, you know, the Grand Hotel, or you know, with the, or is this
the tech park?
Confusion, or the tech park, the tech-less park?
Yeah.
Something needs to happen.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The Bay Center, it was troubled when it was built.
Troubled.
I mean, acoustically, it was bad for the folks in, you know, that like concerts, and we had some great concerts there. You know. Back in the day.
Cher, recently. Yeah. Cher came semi-recently.
Yeah.
Some big names.
But the Bay Center's tired.
Yes.
Even with the recent upgrades to, you know, the ice and things like that, it's still the same. It's still the same box. We need different stuff downtown. If we're going to do it there.
Yeah.
There's also the nuclear option is just, you know, tear it down and build it somewhere else.
Which I don't hate. Because I sort of think we do need a custom-built turnkey solution here, not only for concerts, not only for graduations, but for mid-level events, you know, business conventions.
OLF8 would have been great for that.
Yeah.
OLF8 would be great for that. So the folks out there listening in, we would love to get your text messages in.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
chime in with your support of OLF8.
Not necessarily OLF8, but if you guys are out there listening to us this morning, text in and let us know what your thoughts are on the Bay Center and if it should stay, if it should go, what you think. So, all right, John, hit it.
Oh, wait. I mean, you still got to, 20 more seconds.
20 seconds is an eternity.
Yeah. But the phone number for them, 850-437-1620.
Sorry. I know that. It's programmed in my phone, 850-437-1620.
Mine is too. So I can just rapidly fire off a text to Andrew.
Right.
Gianna Gelosi, the DOJ, investigating after anti-ICE activists stormed a church in Minneapolis over a pastor's alleged ties to ICE.
These protesters burst into a church mid-service yesterday in St. Paul. They started chanting for Renee Good, the woman who was shot and killed by ICE earlier this month. The protesters believe one of the pastors works for ICE. Now, the organizer told Don Lemon, who was embedded with the protesters, that it was a clandestine operation meant to disrupt a, quote, key location demanding justice for Good.
Fox's Matt Finn. President Trump threatening the European Union with 10% tariffs over their opposition to the U.S. annexation of Greenland.
The use of tariffs against allies is completely wrong.
That's UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The eight countries are the UK, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Germany, the Netherlands, and France. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 31 degrees. It is clear skies here this morning around the area. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Marion Caldwell from Channel 3 here in just a few minutes. Well, Escambia County Commissioners will be discussing plans for a potential upgrade on the Pensacola Bay Center this week. The plan will be discussed on Thursday. It would renovate the aging facility. Upgrades include seating, hospitality spaces, improved concessions. Now, those improvements there would be about $71 million. A full project would also add a new event center, an ice rink, and a possible on-site hotel. The total cost for the amenities would be around $189 million. They are not expected to vote this week on the plan. Most Escambia County and Florida Department of Health offices are closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That includes county administration, libraries, the animal shelter, and the clerk's office. The Perdido landfill is open with regular hours today. ECAT buses are not running, but Flex Transit is providing life-sustaining trips. Regular operations across the county will resume tomorrow. Escambia County's high school graduation rate has jumped more than 5% to 89.5%. Superintendent Keith Leonard is crediting family support, hardworking teachers, and targeted tutoring. 2480 students walked across the stage last May, and Leonard says he's confident this May will bring even more graduates. Okaloosa County also saw an increase with its graduation rate rising from 87 to 91%. Santa Rosa County has not yet released its numbers. Crestview man facing weapons charges after investigators responded to a shooting at his home. 54-year-old Reginald Bradshaw is charged with possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. Investigation began on January 15th when a gun discharged during a fight between two women, causing a non-life-threatening shoulder injury. Bradshaw admitted to owning firearms. Deputies say they found seven guns and ammunition when they served a search warrant. A new day is coming for Cuba and Venezuela. That's from Senator Ashley Moody. She said it yesterday at an event in Miami called Prayer for Cuba and Venezuela. She wrote on X that we're witnessing a great awakening in our hemisphere. She said thanks to leadership of President Trump and Secretary Marco Rubio. Miami Dolphins could be close to naming a new head coach. The team will be interviewing Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley today. They'll also interview Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Kelvin Shepard and Las Vegas Raiders defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. Miami interviewed Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady yesterday. Hafley, though, could be the front runner. This is his second interview. He is the only candidate to get a second interview. He worked in Green Bay with the new Dolphins GM, John Eric Sullivan. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I-10, I-110, 2998 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Cold to start out the week. Temperatures in the 20s and 30s on your Monday morning, making way for low 50s for highs this afternoon. As the week goes on, temperatures do moderate back into the middle and upper 60s ahead of increasing rain chances we'll be left with through the middle and end of the week. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Forecast.
Thank you, Marian. 31 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. OpenAI will begin testing of advertisements within ChatGPT in the coming weeks. It's been an important focus area so that it can provide a new revenue stream for the AI startup. Testing will be with the free version in the U.S., not the Plus, the Pro, or the Enterprise versions. OpenAI also made its low-cost Go offering available in the U.S. back on Friday. Those customers will also see ads being tested. Betting stocks like DraftKings and Flutter Entertainment had a rough go to end last week. Those companies are feeling the impact from the prediction markets introducing financial contracts tied to the outcome of sports games. Platforms like Kalshi and Polymarket are surging right now, especially due to the NFL playoffs. The Education Department announced Friday that it will delay implementing wage garnishment and other involuntary collection efforts from defaulted student loan borrowers. The added time will give the agency more time to implement loan repayment reforms. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captate Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You are listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable with Jonathan Owens, not Andrew McKay. He decided to go take a holiday vacay today, so I am here filling in for him with Josh Newby and John Pickens. John is keeping us on track and making us look good.
Yes. Making us sound good.
Somebody has to.
And look good, honestly.
Well,
I mean,
if we're going to.
That's why we
maybe
do radio.
Maybe just me. Yeah, that's right. We have a face for radio.
We have the faces for the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
We were chatting before the break about the Bay Center.
Yeah.
And changes to the Bay Center and, you know, how long overdue it is. And, you know, it's going to be a hefty price tag.
It is. But worth it. I mean, right now the largest capital outlay in county history is the jail, right? Which, you know, is not a great stat for Escambia County. But I mean, everything from concerts to business conventions to, you know, fan conventions like Pensacon. Pensacola just does not have a good event space right now since New World Landing got destroyed in Sally.
That was the only other event space that we had. Previous to that was the Bayfront Auditorium. And we had, historically,
right.
Again, back in the day, the term I hate the most, we had more options in the past,
yes,
for entertainment.
100%.
Not super large entertainment venues, but options, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for something, for a concert. I mean, I saw Nine Inch Nails and B.B. King at the Bayfront Auditorium.
Listen
not
to
together,
you.
But I mean, two different things. I got on stage with Trent Reznor. How cool was that?
Oh my God. Is Jonathan Owens cool?
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
Do you remember the Vanilla Ice when he came here?
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Heck yeah.
I mean, we've had some pretty big names come through Pensacola way before we became as cool as we are today.
And to your point earlier, like, we are on the map literally and figuratively. And I think if we're going to continue to grow, continue to attract, talent, both in the entertainment sense, but also in the labor sense. I mean, this Bay Center thing, it has to happen. It's ridiculous at this point. It casts a pall on the entire city. And yeah, you've got an outdated building right there in the Bay Center. You've got the Crown, which is still there, you know, defunct for some reason. This has to happen. But of course, the question is, who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it, right?
We collectively, well, as taxpayers, are going to pay for whatever happens to a building that's managed by Escambia County.
Right. But it's a cost worth incurring, right?
Is it a cost worth incurring at that location?
Where else would you put it?
Maybe OLF 8, but I think that ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed.
It could have been OLF 8.
I think that location is fine. You spread over to the Crown, you spread over to the Tech Park. That's another conversation.
It's in the city. It's in the city limits.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Why doesn't the city pay for it?
What's that, Jonathan? I say that as a city resident. I would be fine with the city paying for it.
It's going to be expensive.
Very expensive. Yeah, and so what do you believe the funding mix should be?
I'd like to see a private.
A public,
B,
public, yeah. Private partnership.
Public-private partnership.
Public-private partnership.
Yes, a pay. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah.
Because now you have some incentive for it to be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a business entity and not government entities trying to manage a facility, you know, it goes back to our conversation about tax dollars, right?
Sure.
I mean, are we going to commit the county to funding an entire redevelopment of the Bay Center when the fear, air quotes fear, that local taxes are going to be cut? I don't know. Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, that's a good point.
I'd like to see a private entity come in and take over the Bay Center completely.
Yeah.
Here's the building. You get to manage it. You get to fund improvements to it for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever that may be, whatever commitment works out. I think that would be the route to go, because now you have a business incentive for it to be successful. We have put Band-Aids upon Band-Aids upon Band-Aids upon the building that is the Bay Center.
Yes.
It was the Civic Center, now it's the
yep.
Bay Center.
Yep.
Adding the additional watercolor photos or drawings that we saw.
That was great.
In the you know, teaser presentation.
Yeah.
Those will be great. But again, they cost money. And you know, I would like to see a private company do this.
Do you think in 10 years from now we have a brand new civic center, convention center?
I don't know that we have a brand new one, because there's that, well, we've got the Bay Center, we must do something to keep it alive.
I don't think we must. I am not an expert on the entertainment business or on property management or anything like that, but if it's anywhere near as derelict as the old Baptist property was, just tear it down and develop a custom solution.
Yeah.
Again, it's a square peg round hole situation right now. The architecture is dated.
I thought we were going to get it during Ivan when the roof had issues and the AC units flew off the roof, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably asked you then, hey, in 20 years, do we have a new civic center?
Sure.
A new convention center? Of course, we would be stupid not to.
Yeah, 21 coming up on 22 years ago.
It's crazy to me.
Time flies, right? You know, the money is going to be there to fund this venture?
Yeah, so let's talk about county money.
County money.
But first, let's do our traffic on the five.
John's keeping us online.
Well, somebody has to. Okay, I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays or accidents to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So, I wish we had some traffic this morning so you'd have something to talk about.
No, I like this. This is nice.
There you go.
Nice.
And it takes less time away from our banter.
Because it is all about
our valuable banter.
Here.
That we're the stars of the show.
Yes, you are.
So what I did not know, which I feel stupid for not knowing, was discretionary fund commitments from the county commissioners do need at least 3 votes.
Yes. Anything that they outlay is
a 3-vote minimum, of course. So in that way, it does go through the democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
These are all elected officials, right, that the voters have entrusted their tax dollars to, ostensibly. Pam Childers' recent comments that the discretionary fund may be illegal. At first, I agreed with her, but now I find myself disagreeing with her and you. But let's hear, why are discretionary funds unethical at best and illegal at worst?
Did they start out the right way as discretionary funds? Was the intent right at the time to supplement, projects that didn't necessarily have enough funds to get it across the finish line? Could discretionary funds be used at the time to get additional grant dollars that came from somewhere else?
For like match?
For matching funds, you know, skin in the game.
Right.
Or even on an FTOT level, you know, does a commissioner from District 3 or District 4, they want to put their discretionary spend on, you know, fixing an intersection, and I'm going to, you know, here's $100,000 or here's $200,000 of... Now, that's not their discretionary.
Because it's 50 each, right?
It's 50 each, right. But it can roll over if you don't spend it. So my time there, some of our funds in District 2 ended up getting rolled over up until when Doug left, which Kohler had all this, I think it was like $300,000 that he could do with discretionary funds and, you know, as he saw fit. So could it be used for matching dollars? Yeah, it could be used for matching dollars to get other monies somewhere else. What has it been used for that we have seen, which has brought it under scrutiny from Pam Childers? We're going to fund the parking, you know, not the parking lot. We're going to fund something, some special project.
Yeah.
You know, the cheerleaders are going somewhere
right,
and they need to fund
or
sports club or something like that. Or a church, you know, we're going to put $1,000 in it. And it was disheartening to see, and it still happens today, at the county commission meeting, someone will have $1,000 discretionary spend, and then another commissioner will be like, "Oh, I'll see your $1,000, and here's another $1,000. I'm going to pile on." And
two or three months ago,
that's great. I think it's a great project. We're gonna, you know, I want to be as cool as you.
Yeah,
I don't think that's how discretionary monies were supposed to be spent, as you know, play money for the elected officials to, you know, put towards pet projects or, you know.
So are you
curry favor with a specific group?
Are you in favor of discretionary funds the way that it started, and you don't like what it has become, or you think that all funding should have, you know, these regulations around them about what they can and can't be spent on, which would, of course, remove the discretionary from discretionary funds? Or you think we should just get rid of them, period?
Well, I don't know that you don't get rid of them. You just put them back into the general fund.
Well, sure, right? But they so, become
right. They become
non-discretionary.
Any monies spent have to have votes, right? I mean, because that's that's the process. I think you eliminate it. Make it go away. It started with a purpose. That purpose is not what it's being used for today. So just eliminate discretionary funds and take away the temptation to, you know, use it to curry favor. Just put it back into the general fund budget. If you want to bring it as an item, you bring it through the administrator and say, hey, there's this project I want to do, and or I want to help put matching dollars fund, and bring it forward as an agenda item, and the board chair can determine whether it makes it on the agenda. And if it makes it on the agenda, you talk about it and then you vote about it. But this discretionary, it's caused more problems than it solved, I think, from a public perception standpoint.
I don't disagree with you, but is the bureaucratic process that, you know, the bureaucracy inherent in, like you said, going through the administrator, et cetera, too big of a burden for these quick needs that the discretionary fund could address?
What's a quick need? What did you tell me this morning about planning?
I forget. I'm sure it was but
chance favors the
That's right. The prepared. Right.
Right. So, I mean, nothing moves fast in government, and that the
but that's frequently, I mean, that's a bad thing. Right, from a libertarian perspective.
It is a bad thing. I like how you dropped that in there.
I had to.
Libertarian. is it a bad thing? In government, the government moves slow. Nothing's an emergency or a crisis so much that we're going to expend taxpayer dollars for a project that, oh my gosh, this project just came up. No, you knew about it.
Wait, do you think that's true, though? What? But surely
I mean, unless
that happens.
It's an actual emergency that, you know, talk about a state of emergency or a hurricane.
The cheerleader team has to go to nationals, Jonathan.
Well,
that's an emergency.
If they don't make it, they should have, you know, fundraised a little bit better.
Right.
And maybe they'll do better next year. I mean, is it going to be the end of the world? Is it the person in Brownsville that's struggling to pay their property taxes responsibility to make sure that the, you know, school in school du jour cheerleading team goes to national championships?
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, you're using a low income person funding a luxury, you know, as,
how is it not?
Well, it's not only a low income person funding a luxury. It's very often a high income person funding a usually destitute part of town, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, are there any circumstances under which a quick infusion of discretionary cash would be acceptable and allowable in the county government that you create?
No.
Okay. And that's fair. I mean,
no,
you're consistent.
I don't think that there is.
Okay.
I mean, if it's a social issue or a social, you know, we've got some hungry homeless, that types of thing. Shouldn't that be the nonprofit world, which is your world?
Yeah. And where do we get our money from?
Donors.
Donors. But
should it be taxpayers?
I will tell you 90% of my $8 million a year budget is your money.
Right.
So thank you, first of all, for that raise you recently gave me. Okay. But I mean, this comes to a fundamental disagreement, right, about the purpose of government.
Right.
I believe in human infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in...
I do,
you
too.
You believe in... I was about to say, you believe in human infrastructure, too, but not at the expense of roads and bridges and public safety.
Right.
Do you remember when the homeless camps were under 110 and we had to move them, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was 18 months ago, 2 years ago. To me, that would have been... That is an emergency that needs to happen. This regulation was passed down from the state. That was a circumstance under which we did not have time to go through the bureaucracy of county government, and a quick $100,000 would have helped a lot. What say you to that?
I could see that.
Okay.
And I could see that as an emergency. But again, shouldn't that be something that's under the administrative side for, you know, rainy day fund types of things? Shouldn't we have a...
I mean, that's assuming a rainy day fund. And do you jeopardize the lives of homeless, and do you jeopardize non-compliance and an unfunded mandate from the state on
God, we're good at getting unfunded mandates. And
yeah, we're great at that. So, I mean, a slush fund is a purposely derisive and provocative term, but I do think there is a time and a place for slush.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't necessarily agree with you.
Okay.
But I can see your point.
I think you do. I think I won.
No, I don't think you won. You can think whatever you want.
I'm kidding.
Came in here and said, is there a spend limit for the discretionary fund, a cap on the amount that can be used for any specific purpose? Well, I mean, there's only a certain amount every year.
But it rolls.
But it rolls over. Right. If you don't spend it on some things, it can build up like a savings account for when you have a larger project on that discretionary fund. There's also this discretionary, which is separate from this, that Pam's working on. There's a discretionary LOST spends that have been put into buckets for each of the commissioners, which I don't agree with that either. That's something that you have a professional county administrator for a reason.
He's
the guy or girl that runs the county,
right?
And the commissioners vote on how he or she spends that money. Right now, it's a he,
right?
So it's I don't agree with having your bucket of money for your fiefdom and your bucket of money for your fiefdom.
Sure.
But again, I would like to see us have countywide elections here too.
Right.
So that's a whole different topic of that we could move forward on.
Let's go to traffic on the fives. Wow. John,
hit it, John.
There you go.
Hit it. Hit the goalpost.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. If you guys are just waking up because you're still on sleeping in from it being a holiday, you're joining Jonathan Owens, Josh Newby, and John Pickens on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. And we are discussing
Sean Connery.
We're discussing discretionary funding.
Yes.
We had a text come in over the break, said, every time I drive down 9th Avenue and hit a pothole, then have to take my car in for another front-end alignment, the money for that front-end alignment I could donate to the cheerleaders so they could go to Nationals. If you'd use my money to fix the potholes and not the $50,000 discretionary money, I could make that donation so the cheerleaders could go to Nationals. I love it. That's great.
No, I agree. Of course, that's probably in the city. And I think the city's very good at filling potholes.
Well, 9th Avenue is in and out of the city.
You're right.
Depending on where.
But Yes, that is fair and true. I think it's a minority of discretionary funding that goes to luxury line items like that. I mean, most of the discretionary funding I see, if I'm being honest, is either what I would classify as an emergency situation that we don't have time to go through the bureaucratic process for, or homeless, you know, human infrastructure, as we call it.
You don't watch enough county commission meetings.
I mean,
clearly.
I might not. I mean, the most recent one that did sort of incense me was a couple of months ago when Cadillac came, right? And they started 1,000 here, 1,000 there. You know, do I hear 5,000? That's a wrong use and a wrong process. But I do still think the discretionary fund can serve a purpose.
Okay. We're going to break.